Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-commerce Paradise High Ticket Dropshipping Podcast. Today is going to be a story about how I got started with e-commerce in the first place and my e-commerce journey from where I started to growing my first business, selling my first business, growing my second business, selling that one, and then growing my third and fourth business, selling those, and then growing more businesses and continue to sell them. And I just wanted to let you guys know, if this is your first time visiting my channel, definitely hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, and go get my free niches list so that you can get started with high-ticket dropshipping in your own e-commerce journey. It's at ecommerceparadise.com/99niches, and the link is in the description as well. So let's get into it. So when I first got started with e-commerce, it was because I was in high school taking a photography class, and the teacher, he wanted to sell some of his old photography equipment. This is right around the time when photography was moving from analog cameras, SLR cameras, single lens reflex cameras, to digital single lens reflex cameras, DSLRs. And so he had one of the first ones, and he was really happy with it, and things were just moving digital. So he's like, let me sell all my old photography equipment, all the old equipment that it takes to develop the photographs and all that stuff. So he had the class sit down with light boxes, and we used lighting and stuff like that. We took really nice product photography pictures of the products that we wanted to sell. And then we went on the computer in the computer lab and then created product descriptions on eBay. And most of the class had no idea what eBay was. And I think it was around maybe the year 2003 or 2004. And eBay had been around for quite some time already, so it wasn't a new website. And people were having great success using their auction format to sell products from their garage and stuff like that. So we created product listings, and he showed us how to, you know, list out the features of the product and, you know, talk a little bit about like the benefits of that and stuff like that, and maybe try to make it unique. And he kind of introduced us to what sales copy was, how to write a keyword-rich title and add keywords to the product description so people could find it. And then how to do market research to find what comparable prices there were out there in the marketplace, and to set that kind of as a minimum for the auction format. So if it's sold below that, that we wouldn't actually have to sell it at that. We could relist it. But if it's sold above that, then at least we'd be making what the market price was. So we learned all that in high school. It was crazy. And that wasn't like something that was normal. None of the teachers were doing that. So I would just have to say I got really lucky and had a teacher that literally taught me my foundations of e-commerce through a case study practice. It was pretty cool, pretty neat. And it was a photography project still. It was a product photography, how to take product photos. And yet he included a e-commerce eBay part of that project in high school. So moving out of high school, I set up my own eBay account and I started selling stuff that I had from high school. So like, for instance, one of the things I was really into in high school was Pokemon cards and Magic the Gathering cards. And you know, some of you out there may know about this kind of stuff. It's really popular. And back then it was really, really popular, and it still is today. Some of the biggest grossing companies are the companies behind these, and they're Japanese companies, I'm pretty sure. And anyway, so I had a lot of those left over, and I didn't want to just throw them away or whatever. So I figured, hey, let me list them on eBay and they might sell. And sure enough, I started listing like single cards and packs of cards and things like that, and all my little trinkets or whatever. And I made some money, like, you know, 10 bucks a sale, 50 bucks, 150 bucks, whatever. You know, the average sale price was like 30 or 50 bucks. But since I had already purchased the product before my parents did for me, I had it and I just had to pay shipping and ship it out. So for me, the margin was quite high because I had no cost of goods. I just had the cost of shipping to fulfill it. So that worked out really well. Made some extra money for college and all that after high school. After high school, I wasn't really like focused on school as much because I didn't really like classic schooling. I thought it was a waste of time. I thought a lot of the stuff I was learning I would never use later in my life, which is ends up having to be true. Simple math is really all I need. How to add, subtract, divide, and multiply. And some basic geometry ideas, some basic algebra skills, like that's pretty much what you'll use for the rest of your life. So you don't really need advanced trigonometry and calculus to do normal everyday things or to run a business or anything like that. So, you know, all the subjects like advanced English, advanced math, advanced history, I just was never really interested in that stuff. So I didn't really do too well there, like advanced chemistry, just kind of beyond me. So what I did was when I first went to college, I actually flunked out of a lot of classes. I went to community college and I took things like astronomy and architecture and music theory. And it's just all this stuff that made no sense for some reason. I was just kind of playing around, see what would work out. And I pretty much flunked out of those classes because I wasn't interested And, you know, spending most of the time, you know, reading and doodling and stuff during class. So later on, I got a job. And, you know, this is a few years later, I got a job at a sales and fulfillment warehouse in Los Angeles. They sell lock and security hardware. And I got really lucky and got in there in the warehouse and started learning how to do order fulfillment and how to do packing and shipping and stuff like that. So I was realizing, like, hey, like, I used to sell on eBay, and that's basically e-commerce. That's the marketing side of things. But all the fulfillment behind that, this is what's happening right now. This is a business that does that. So I started thinking, like, if I can take on more skills in this job, you know, how is that going to be able to help me the rest of my life? I bet it's going to be able to help me a lot. And I was reading books like Rich Dad Poor Dad that talk about working to learn instead of just working for your wage. A lot of the other people around me didn't understand that, didn't have the mindset, but I did. And I knew, I was like, you know, I want to work to learn. I want to learn about this stuff. I want to know, like, how these methods work, how this fulfillment process works, how the sales process works, so that I can go out and create my own company someday. And while that was in the back of my mind, I knew it definitely wasn't, like, actually going to be able to happen right away because I didn't have the resources for it. But at least if I could learn about it now, I'd be able to take action later. So if you guys have a job out there, definitely consider working to learn. Okay, so, you know, learn every little thing about that business you're already working for so that you can apply that to your own business in the future. Now, as time went on, I actually moved up in the sales department. This is about around the same time when I decided to finally start my own business. And I remember in the warehouse, what was happening before that was I was doing really good. And they moved me up into managing the returns department and as well as the receiving. So I got in that side of the warehouse. And a lot of the returns that were coming in were products that weren't actually defective, but the people just claimed they were defective. Or maybe they had a scratch or something, so they just made it up. And what would happen is it's such a big company that they would just tell the manufacturer, and the manufacturer would just write it off and on their next invoice. And so they'd have this product laying around that they didn't pay for, that was free basically. And instead of, you know, selling it for a discount, they decided to go ahead and throw all the returns away in the trash can. And so I talked to the manager. I was like, man, like, this stuff is worth so much money still. You know, I can resell it on eBay. Is it okay if, you know, I just go and take it out of the trash can and resell it at home? And he's like, look, dude, I'll look the other way. I get it. Like, life isn't easy in Los Angeles. It's expensive. We're not making more than like $12 an hour, which is not enough to pay for the bills, much less going out and stuff like that. He's like, look, dude, just go do your thing after you get off, after you clock out, and I'll look the other way. And I was like, all right, cool. So I literally went to the dumpster behind where my warehouse was, where all these products were thrown away at. It wasn't like a dumpster full of food. It was a dumpster full of like random warehouse stuff. And I took a lot of these products out and I brought them home and I looked at them and I cleaned them up and I decided which ones were good and were selling and which ones weren't. And they pretty much all were in some way or another. And I listed them on eBay and a lot of them sold for high prices because they were quite expensive products, you know, $50, $100, $150, $300, sometimes $500 sometimes. It was pretty impressive what I was able to get just from stuff that they were literally throwing in the trash can. So I was just being resourceful with the resources that were around me that I knew that were worth money that I could use my marketing expertise on e-commerce platforms like eBay and marketplaces to sell and make money to support myself and pay off my debt because I was going into debt. I wasn't making enough money to live a good life in Los Angeles. It wasn't easy in that city and it still isn't. It's very expensive. Rent is very expensive. The cost of a car is very expensive. The cost of insurance is very expensive. Going out, eating out and partying and traveling, all that stuff is very expensive in the States. And Los Angeles is a very expensive city. So I was going into debt constantly and one of the last things that I could do to get out of debt is I asked my dad, I was like, listen, like I'm doing this stuff, but it's still not helping. I need your help somehow. Is there anything you can do for me? Any direction you can point me? And he said, you know what? You're lucky because right now my company is telling me to dispose of a whole bank of these old super fast computers for them. And they were these really fast computers for the time. And he had like 12 of them to dispose of, and they're these really big systems. So he's like, yeah, look online, see how much they're worth, how much they're selling for. Past listing is on eBay like you know how to do, and then list them on eBay and sell them, and I'll ship them out to your customer for you. I will drop ship for you to your customer. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like these big computers are heavy, they're bulky, they'll cost a lot to ship, but he was actually willing to pay for the shipping to help support me to pay off my debt, and I would just have to sell the computer, and I would take all that money and pay off that debt, and I just have to prove that I was paying off my debt with that money, not spending on other things, which is fine because I'm a responsible person, except for I can't really hardly afford to live in Los Angeles on a $12 an hour, you know, wage that's before taxes. So I listed all the computers on eBay, and one by one they sold, and they sold for like $1,000 to start, and then like every single other one that sold was like a little bit less, just because like some of them weren't as good a quality as the others, and the specs were different on some of them. But they sold every single one. I'd send the purchase order to my dad, and he would take the computer, take it to the shipping place up around the street. They would box it up and send it to my customer wherever that happened to be. And sometimes the shipping was like $50. Sometimes it was like $300. One time I got a guy that wanted it next day air, and my dad was willing to go to the office. It cost him like $300 just to ship it next day air to him across the country. And so that extra money that that guy paid me for the next day air, I was able to pay off my credit card. And overall, I think I made about $3,000 or $4,000, and my debt was around that much. So just consumer debt. And so I was able to pay off all my debt with that and with the sales from the returned items and stuff like that. And I was able to become debt free at that point. And at that point, I actually saved up a little bit of cash too. And I was like, let me start a business. So I had this epiphany moment one day. I literally woke up and I remember the feeling. It was like 7 a.m. And I hate waking up in the morning. I'm just not a morning person. I usually wake up around 10 or 11. And I like to work late because that's when my mind is kind of going and I'm like, you know, learning things and making plans and stuff like that. But I woke up, it was 7 a.m. I was so dead tired from working the night before on my like internet stuff, trying to figure things out online. And I just, I had this feeling. I was like, you know, I hate this. Having to wake up at 7 a.m, drive a half an hour to a job that I don't like to do, deal with people I don't like to deal with, make money for somebody I don't necessarily really like to make money for, who is my boss, and you know, deal with LA traffic and only have like a half an hour for lunch break and 10 minutes for break in the morning, 10 minutes for break in the afternoon. And I often have to stay late just to like finish up the work that other people didn't want to do because they're lazy, because there's this like office politics superiority thing where I was working, and most offices are like that, so you know what I'm talking about. It was just such a ridiculous life, and I knew it wasn't for me. I was there to learn about their business, to build my own business while I was there, and use that as a stepping stone to get into entrepreneurship and build successful businesses in the future and help other people do the same thing later on. I knew that was always what I wanted to do, always my calling in life. And that's why I create content every day now, is to help you guys create your own successful businesses as well, because I love to help people. And I like making a business out of that. I think consulting is a great thing to do. And using the internet, using video technology and podcast technology, we can clone ourselves, and people can listen to me talk all day long, listen to you talk all day long about whatever you're interested in, and you don't actually have to be talking in that moment. They can just listen to you. So it's amazing what's possible nowadays, and it's almost free to start a podcast, almost free to start a YouTube channel, almost free to start a website. It's very, very cheap, so it's all possible. And that's what I started realizing. I was in my office one day, and I was like, you know what, like, I want to start a skateboard brand because I'm a skateboarder and I've always been skateboarding. That's why I kind of went into debt. Was a lot of it was like buying skateboards and stuff like that, going places to go skate. So, you know, I wanted to start a skateboard brand because that's what I'm into. I just had no idea. Like, I really hadn't taken many like business classes and marketing classes yet, so I didn't know what I was doing. And by the time I got into it, I was sort of just sort of like haphazardly pushing way too fast to get the work done. And like, I made some designs that were kind of all right. They weren't that great. Like, they were kind of creative or whatever, whatever. But the problem was, is that I bought all the product up front. That was my number one mistake. I took all my savings I had, which is like $1,000, and I bought 50 decks. I didn't buy multiple designs. I just bought the decks with one design. I didn't buy too many different sizes, and I didn't have a distribution plan. I didn't even have an e-commerce website set up. I just thought, let me go to the skate park and try to sell these decks. It was so haphazard. It wasn't planned out at all. And that was a huge mistake. I knew I wanted to do it. I knew if I would just jump into it and have a deck to show somebody that I could figure out how to sell it, because I'm naturally a salesman. And so I did. I went to skate parks and I talked to kids and they sold some decks out of the trunk of my car. I went to some skate shops and tried to get the boards in the shops. Most of the shops didn't have any room, but a couple of them did, and a couple of them sold a couple of the decks for me. But it wasn't enough to be a real business, right? And I needed to have an e-commerce presence. I needed to have a distribution system set up. I needed to have marketing done and all this stuff that I just wasn't able to do and willing to do for that brand. And I sponsored a whole team of skaters one summer, gave them decks and grip, and we went out and filmed a bunch of videos. It was a great time, and I still have footage from back then. And it was great memories. But come the end of the summer, my money ran out. I wasn't making any profits from it. And I had a choice to make, to save more money and put more money into it, into a failing business, or move on to something else that was a little bit more lean and profitable. So I decided to go ahead and go with option number two. So I shut the company down. I didn't really make a big deal out of it. I just kind of stopped making decks, and people just sort of were like, yeah, like, you know, you can kind of tell it wasn't going to happen, work out or whatever. It's all good, man. Like, hey, at least you gave it a try. You know, you did your thing. So it's good, you know. And so I moved on, and I started talking with people about ideas. And my business partner that I worked with on the skateboarding thing had a good idea. And by the way, my business partner was one of the locksmiths that would come in and buy things for my company. And that's how I started the first business, was with talking to him and, you know, getting ideas from him. He's the one that came up with the board company name, and I went ahead and did it, but just didn't know what I was doing, so it failed. But he also came up with the first product that we sold that was actually a drop-shipped product, a fully drop-shipped product. In other words, we didn't have to invest any money up front into product design, product development, packaging, any of that stuff. We didn't have to source it from a manufacturer or anything. All we had to do was find a manufacturer in the States that had already done the product design, product development, packaging, and already imported it from China to the States. We found a supplier, a brand basically, that did that, and we were able to secure a dropship account with them by presenting ourselves as a mobile bike shop. So the product, now that you know, is a bicycle, a special type called a fixed gear bike, although they sell other types of bicycles too. And we realized that in LA, there's a lot of mobile bike shops, people that go around and fix bikes for people and sell bikes on the side. And so we presented ourselves that way to them. Because my partner had a locksmith van, and he just put a big logo of our website, because we put up a simple website, and went there, and they said, okay, fine, no problem. We'll set you up with a wholesale account, same one we give to bike shops, if you invest in 10 products up front. And, you know, they have a whole warehouse full of products. So they're like, well, what's your cheapest product? And they said, well, we have kids bikes for, you know, wholesale $10 each. And we're like, perfect, let's buy 10 of those. So for 10 kids bikes for $100 investment, we got a wholesale account with them. So that worked out really well. And then I set up our website. I set up a really simple HTML website. This is before I knew anything about our own, you know, WordPress or Shopify or anything like that. Before, like, the big e-commerce websites were, like, you know, in my life anyways. And I knew that, like, I could use other e-commerce platforms. So I was like, all right, well, let me go try to use eBay. And I did, and the fees are really high on eBay to sell. So if you don't have that much margin, then it doesn't really make sense. It's not that profitable unless you raise the prices. So we set it up there and we made some sales there, but we also used an eBay alternative called eCreator, which is kind of like a e-commerce platform that drives traffic to the listings using Google Shopping Ads and has its own marketplace. It's sort of similar to eCreator and Shopify, or eBay and Shopify. So I used that, and it was actually quite successful. We sold some products. I remember the first sale I got on that website, I was blown away. I got the email notification in my email inbox, and it was just such a freaking blessing. I was so happy. The website I had set up and spent about a month or two putting work and effort into finally got a sale, and I got the order. I put it to the sent it to the supplier, and they shipped it out, and the customer got it, and they were happy with it. I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, it made like $30 on the order or something like that, but it was successful, and it went through 100%. So I was just really, really glad. You know, I was like, wow, all this work I put into it, we got the supplier, we set up a website, let's scale this thing. So I started adding more products to the website, optimizing the product descriptions, and looking for more suppliers. And we found more suppliers and started making more sales. And we started having issues here and there, which is to be expected. But hey, we made an extra few hundred bucks every single month for like the first 6 months. And then we started to grow from there. And I started realizing, like, we need to have our own website. So we started putting more effort into our own website. We invested in an SEO consultant to help us grow it. And it was just based on an HTML theme. It wasn't based on WordPress, so it was really bad. But we made that holiday season about, you know, a few thousand dollars in net profits. And so we were able to pay the SEO guy and get out of that website. And I realized WordPress was actually a way better alternative for SEO and for blogging and content marketing. So I set up a WordPress site with their built-in WooCommerce plugin and for e-commerce functionality, and started doing the same thing there. And it almost seemed like right away we started getting sales, because I was driving traffic from SEO, from videos, from Google Shopping Ads, things like that, to the product listings for these bicycles that were maybe like $300 to $600 on average, maybe somewhere $1,000. And we started shifting from fixed gear into road bikes, which are a bit more expensive. And I was working from home now, and I was building the company while I was working. And then people started noticing. I started buying some of the products that I wanted to sell and bringing them into the actual place I was working at and selling them to customers. I was just out of my mind. I was bringing like the fixies, and I sold like a few fixies to different locksmiths while I was there working, and nobody really gave a shit. They were just like, wow, dude, look at Trevor, he's a salesman. and an entrepreneur. This guy is so cool. And I was just doing my thing. And eventually the boss sort of started catching a keen eye to it. And he said, hey, I can see what you're doing. You're kind of building your own business here. And it's distracting people from, you know, what they should be here to do, which is to buy from us. And you need to be working for us if you're going to be working here. So they told me I couldn't be doing it anymore at the place. And I was like, totally fine with that. So I told them, yes, it's fine. I'll stop, you know, selling bikes at the lock warehouse. I'll do it outside only. And so that was kind of an interesting experience. And then about, I think, 6 months later, 3 months later, I finally decided I would quit the job. So, you know, we were making enough money by that point. And we had, I think, broken the six-figure mark that year, 2013, done 100,000 in sales. So I realized, like, hey, like, you know, it's a part-time income now, and I can get out of this day job, work full-time on the business. Let's just do it. I'm prepared. I'm ready for it. I want to get the fuck out of here. Have a good time with my life and not hate this day job anymore. I hate my commute and all that BS. So I was ready for it, and I did it. I went ahead and put in my 2 weeks notice with my supervisor, but I asked him not to tell the main boss. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, and he didn't. He was actually pretty cool with me. We were like really good friends, and he didn't say anything about it. And he kind of waited until I was ready to tell the main boss. And the day before I was going to tell him, the main boss came in and said, hey, Trevor, we're going to let you go. We're going to lay you off because it just doesn't look good what you're doing here. You're kind of giving the other employees ideas that they should be doing their own business too, and we don't like that. So they laid me off, and I went and I filed for unemployment, and I got it. And so unemployment in California is kind of cool. If you're working long enough, you can get a percentage of what you were making at your old job delivered to like a debit card every week. So I did that. And in the background, I was building my internet business, which of course has no W-4 attached to it. It's just sole proprietor income. So I didn't actually report that to the bureau. So I kind of hid that from them. And I got my unemployment income as well as the dropship store income. And I even took some side gigs as well, some freelance gigs, building web stores for other locksmiths that I had worked with as clients at the warehouse before. I actually started working directly for them as a freelancer in for e-commerce stores and selling things for them on eBay and stuff like that to make ends meet. But yeah, eventually I actually got the website going really good. That whole year I worked on it. I was a bit distracted at times. I got involved in an MLM in the meantime, selling life insurance. And then I got out of that. And then I just went full time just building a business on the internet. And by the end of the year, we did really well. But by 2014, things started taking off. And we started selling a lot on eBay and Amazon and our own store. I remember I changed the themes up a lot on the website. We even shifted into selling electric bicycles, which are a bit more expensive and profitable, just from a happenstance encounter with somebody through a Craigslist ad to sell a fixie. They happened to be guys that were actually outfitting mountain bikes with retrofit electric bike kits. And I talked to them about it, and they said, yeah, this is really cool. You should get into it. If you're selling fixies online, you should get into selling electric bikes. And I had no idea where any suppliers would be because it was so new still. But there was actually one supplier that was importing cheap Chinese trash electric bikes. But I thought, hey, man, like, that's a start, you know, got to start somewhere. So I signed up with them and started dropshipping their products, and they're quite profitable. We had some issues with them, of course, because it's like Chinese trash. It's always going to break and fall apart, and electronics are not going to work and BS, and the warranty sucks, you know. So people were upset, and there weren't too many service providers that were willing to work on them. But it was a start, right? So our revenue grew a lot that year. I actually decided also that I wanted to open a physical bike shop so I could try to take on more brands. And it ended up being a really bad idea because for me, I don't like to be location dependent. I don't like to have a place. My idea was, let me hire an employee. If it's profitable, you know, it'll be a nice little location. I can sell travel, but it was never profitable enough to hire an employee. And I never just took that leap and hired somebody. And honestly, I think it was just because I didn't want to do it in the first place. I just wanted to travel the world and not have to deal with that BS. And there you go. So I got into the bike shop. I painted the walls. Had my friends help. We put up retail displays. I bought a bunch of merchandise from a distributor. We put it all on the walls, and it was just a mess. It literally looked like a messy room the whole time. And no, it was never like clearly organized at any one point. And we sold some bikes. Like, people would come by, buy fixies, regular bicycles. We sell electric bikes. Like, I worked there every day for like that whole summer. And you know, we made it about break even profitable, and the internet store was doing okay. And then I decided to try to switch from WordPress to Shopify without doing any URL redirects, and I lost all the organic traffic. That was a big mistake. And then about 2 weeks later, I switched back, and luckily our organic rankings came back and our website started doing well again. And then around that point in the fall, everything was falling apart at the bike shop. So, you know, all my friends were coming over. We were just hanging out at the bike shop, partying all the time. It was just such a ridiculous situation. And, you know, smoking and drinking, whatever. And it just wasn't even a bike shop anymore. It was just like a hangout spot. And it was just due to the stress, you know, of dealing with it every day. And so what I decided to do was to start wrapping things up and closing out the shop. But right around Christmas, the shop got broken into. Somebody rolled up to the shop. It was because I forgot to close the gate one night. And it's in kind of like an industrial neighborhood, sort of sketchy. So someone rolled up to the shop, broke the window, stole a few bikes out. Luckily, I left the alarm on. We actually paid to have an alarm system by ADT installed. And the alarm system was on, so that went off. And that scared them away. And the cops came. They called me. It was 3 a.m, scared the crap out of me. I went to the shop. The window was broken. We just closed the gate. And you know, the next day went in there, fixed everything, hired the person to fix the window, cost like $300 or $500 or something. But after that, it just wasn't the same. It wasn't like a comfortable place anymore. It wasn't somewhere I wanted to be. It was just like a nightmare place. So, I kind of just threw a fit and I told my business owner that like I was over it. I didn't want to do it anymore. And that I didn't want to be in business with him anymore either, because he just wasn't really helping much at all at that point. I think he was kind of worn out from it too. So he agreed to secede from the partnership as long as I would handle all the debt from the bike shop, because we had to buy a bunch of merchandise and a bunch of products and all this stuff and pay rent, and it was a ridiculous mess. We made so much profit that year. It's kind of sad to see like all that profit went into that shop, and then you know, and then I ended up having to sell everything from that shop to get out of it, so I'd have, you know, the profits back, and it was like maybe like a quarter of what I had made. And it was just a big learning lesson. It was a big mistake. But I went back to my apartment. Well, first of all, I successfully found somebody to take over the lease of that shop, because that was a big deal. The lease was 1.5 years, and we were only 6 months into the lease. So I started asking around, posting something on Craigslist, and my friend actually gave me a call, and I was down in Long Beach at a skateboard expo, like a streetwear expo. And he gave me a call. He's like, "Yo, dude, like, how's it going with your bike shop?" And I was like, "Well, it's not too good, actually. I'm looking to you know, get out of it." And he's like, "Wow, that's crazy. Cause yeah, I'm looking for a location just like yours, a flex space, where it's kind of a warehouse and a retail." And I was like, "Well, perfect, man. Like, you want to take it over?" And he's like, "Yeah, let me go check it out and talk to the owner and see if we can work out a deal." And I was like, "Great, that sounds awesome." So we met up. He looked at the space. He liked it. He's talked to the owner, and they worked out a really good deal, I guess, for him. I don't know what it was, but it was on a 5-year lease, and he took over the lease. And we just dropped ours. We, you know, had to forfeit our deposit or whatever, but it is what it is. Like, you know, everything worked out well. So we got out of the shop, and we actually were within the window to send most of the merchandise I had bought from the distributor back and get a refund on a lot of it, minus a restocking fee. So that worked out as well. So I just kind of like got lucky. I sold the rest of the bikes on Craigslist through like a local storage unit, you know. And I got out of that, went back to the apartment, and then the worst possible thing happened. We got kicked off of Amazon because of A to Z guarantee claims from those shady Chinese electric bikes. And then we got kicked off of eBay for the same BS about a month or two later. So the beginning of 2015 was a wreck, and our website sales were down. We had just gotten out of this bike shop. eBay was no longer a viable thing. Amazon was no longer a viable thing. And that was like maybe a third of our income from the previous year. So we were looking pretty bleak at that point. And I was thinking, like, what are our options? You know, I can either decide to set my game up, really get this Shopify switch over done and try to like make something happen, or maybe I can try to sell the business. Maybe that's a possibility. So I started looking into selling the business to get like a cash, big cash influx, you know, and start a new one after that in a different niche, you know, because I knew it's e-commerce, like you can sell all sorts of stuff online. I'm sure I can figure something else out. So I started looking online. I found Flippa, and I listed the website for sale on Flippa. I got some interested leads that were offering me like $10,000, $20,000 for the site, but I wanted a $50,000 payout minimum. And we were just selling the site. We weren't selling eBay or Amazon assets, so that was about right, I think. Maybe a bit low. It was like in the maybe 12 to 15x multiple. Really, you want to get like 24x, 30x multiples, but on a business like this where it's sort of like dicey, it's expected to kind of have lower multiples. We didn't have any VAs running it, so we got a lower multiple than we kind of wanted to get, and also because we're kind of desperate in a situation like that. So, but I did end up getting a guy who wrote me outside of Flippa and offered, and we took his offer. It was $50,000, and I was just blown away. Like, wow, I actually got $50,000 for it. You know, I was like really amazed. And we closed the transaction, we moved over the assets, and we got the money in our account. a few weeks after that, and all of a sudden it was just crazy. It went from this like flurry of stress to like nothing was happening. It was just like immediately poof, no business in our life, nothing to deal with, and all, you know, just total relaxation and a bunch of money in the account. I was just so like such a strange feeling. And then all of a sudden it kicked in. I was like, wow, we don't have a monthly income anymore. Like, yeah, I got a bunch of cash, but I'm gonna owe some of that in taxes, and we don't have a job or a business anymore, so there's no monthly income. So the timer in my mind started ticking. I was like, you know, I only have so many months that I can sit here in LA and afford a $5,000 a month expense budget, which is what you're about spending for two people, having two cars, you know, all that stuff. So it's like, man, like I gotta figure something out quick. Either go the way of starting a new business or go the way of getting out of all these debts and expenses that we were, you know, paying for every single month. And I knew that starting a new business wasn't something I wanted to do right away. I just got out of all that stress. I didn't want to jump back into it. I kind of wanted to take like a break and start traveling. So, you know, my girlfriend and I, at the time, she agreed, and we decided to start traveling. So the first step to travel is to get rid of all your stuff. So we decided to sell everything on Craigslist and, you know, other local apps and eBay and things like that. We had a lot of stuff, obviously. And it was kind of good timing too, because we were supporting my girlfriend's little sister and giving her a place to stay and live. And she was actually had just turned 18 and gotten out of high school, and she had friends that she could go stay with. So it was good timing, and we were all kind of ready to like move on. We had raised her since she was like 13 to all the way to 18. And so kind of went through all this crazy stuff and raised her to be a very independent person. So she figured out her situation. Everything worked out really well for her. She had a friend to stay with, and she went there and got a job, and everything was great. So I was really happy about that. And she's doing great today, which is awesome. So really proud of her. But the coolest thing is that we were successfully able to get rid of all of our stuff. We figured out that you could sell all the stuff like basically on Craigslist and get a percentage of it pretty good. The same way you would do it on eBay, but someone just meets you in person and you just exchange cash for it. So there's no like fees associated with any of this stuff. So I had a bunch of cash all of a sudden because I was selling all this stuff. And the other thing is we found an app called Shift that you can sell your car on. And they actually try to get you a bigger, better price than you would if you try to sell it directly to your consumer. And they handle the marketing for you and the selling, and they deposit it. And it's perfect because they'll actually take the car in, do any fixing to it that you need to do, and then they'll actually sell it for you and negotiate the sale and handle the money switch and all that. And then so I was like, yeah, perfect. What we really want to do is we want to start traveling. So you know, how do we do that? So we're like, let's just start road tripping. So Juliana had a car, and I was like, all right, cool, let's just take your car and sell mine. And I had a motorbike, I had to sell it, which was no problem. And then, you know, we sold the car and sold the motorbike, sold all our stuff, and broke our lease. Basically just kind of left the apartment and told them like, hey guys, we're moving out. We'll try to run some Craigslist ads and try to get somebody to take over the lease. And they're like, all right, well, there's nothing we can do about it, you know, and your deposit's forfeit unless you can get someone to take over the lease. I was like, yeah, I get that. So let's just do it. So we did that, and we successfully found them someone to take over the lease. Cause luckily in LA, the housing markets are hot. Everybody's looking for apartments all the time. So yeah. And then, we just started traveling. Our first stop was Idaho, visit my mom, and, you know, things kind of got weird out there. My mom wasn't doing too well, and we decided to leave after like a week or two. And to start road tripping. So we went down the California coast, the entire coastline of the 101. It was this amazing trip, and it was so beautiful. If you've ever been on the California coast, it's just the most gorgeous place to go vacation and stuff like that. And then we went back to LA. We were staying with our friend for a little bit, and then we went on another road trip. We got married that summer, and then we went to Cancun and back 10 days. That was amazing. Mexico is really cool. Met some awesome people out there. And then we came back, and then we road tripped up through Utah and did all the national parks, went through Yellowstone, Idaho again, Washington. And by that time, that was kind of late fall. We went to go pick up our cats from my mom because we had left her there for the summer, and bring them back down to California with us. And we got back to LA, and it was winter. It was cold. So I didn't want to like go road trip anymore because, you know, when we're road tripping, we're not staying at hotels. We're staying in camping sites and camping, day camping, basically everywhere we would go. We set up the tent and everything. It's like $30 a night instead of like $100 a night. So we saved a lot of money that way. So that was kind of our first like foray into being digital nomads in a sense. It was kind of crazy, but it was a lot of fun, and there was no responsibilities. And that summer, it was just like total peace and relaxation. So that was a really good experience in my life. And all the time, you know, I was reading books and stuff, kind of keeping myself educated, but just really relaxing, having a time. And it was one of the best summers of my life for sure. But yeah, and then kind of things got back to normal again. We had to figure out what our monthly income was going to be. So we started driving for Uber and Lyft. And Uber and Lyft are okay. They're, you know, it's good for short-term money, but it's not really good for full-time because you have to pay expenses like your car expenses, gas, and all that stuff. And it can get kind of sketchy with people sometimes. So Juliana would drive mornings, and then I would drive evenings. And then in the afternoon, we'd spend together, and we'd probably work or something like that on a website. And I was trying to just listen to podcasts all day long in my ear while I was driving, and that worked out really well. But of course, I wanted to start a new website, so I was trying all these different ideas, affiliate marketing sites, more dropship stores. I tried doing paddle boards. That didn't really work out. I tried doing boat supplies, like trolling motors, because of, you know, some podcast I heard or whatever. This guy was doing trolling motors. And that didn't work out just because I wasn't doing it right and I didn't have the right suppliers, distributors. And so I was kind of lost. And so I decided to go search out like a course or something like that. And I found a course online and I, you know, signed up for it, paid for it. And I got into it and I was like, all right, well, like, most of the stuff I already know because I've already been doing it. But the one thing that I got away from it was that you need to use Google Shopping Ads these days for high-ticket dropshipping. You just can't really do it with SEO anymore and have like a fully profitable business unless your niche is like super special or something like that. And things were becoming more competitive in our niche. So it wasn't our niche anymore. We had sold the business, but I was still looking at it, you know, starting a new business in it and just not telling the owners or something, even though we had a non-compete. And I even thought about going with a partner and having him set up the business fully under his name and then just kind of consulting with him and being like a 50-50 on it, just to sort of get back into that niche. And it was crazy how it happened, but I was about to do that and it would have been a terrible idea. But right after that, like a week later, we got an email that the guy that had bought it from us actually sold it to somebody else. So the non-compete that we had was void. And so we could hop back into it if we wanted to. And I was like, well, perfect. I know that niche is profitable, so let me do it. So I literally just put up a website like overnight, as fast as possible, using all the conversion optimization techniques and the traffic methods in that course that I took. And it worked. We started making sales and because the competition was super low and people were looking for those things that are hot and trendy back then. So we started making a bunch of sales. And one of the sales happened to be a fraudulent sale. And the guy called me on the phone and was pressuring me and stuff like that. And we ended up losing $1,000 on it or whatever. So we got a fraud detection app in the future. We only took sales online from now on and that kind of stuff. And they have to be approved before we ship it out, that kind of thing. But besides that, it was very profitable. And so that was sometime around the summer. And I started watching videos about guys that are in Thailand and other places living abroad and doing drop shipping and like just living that lifestyle, you know, and being in the tropics and experiencing a whole different life. And I was like, man, I want to do that. So I talked to my wife at the time, and I was like, yeah, no, let's just do it. And she was like, yeah, I'm down. So we sold everything again. And we adopted out our cats. My mom took one cat and we found a great person to adopt our other kitty. We sold her car this time and we literally had nothing but what was in our suitcases. And our laptops and our dropshipping business, and we took off to Thailand. We got a 6-month visas, so we could stay for 6 months, well up to 9 months, and not have any issues. And that was a great experience. We went to Chiang Mai, Thailand, and met with the digital nomad community. We were growing our store, masterminding with people all the time, getting to know people. We actually did a couple of live talks, public speaking engagements, and I got to talk about e-commerce and dropshipping, all things I've learned from it, my story. Because my whole goal is to start a business like this, you know, a long time ago when I first sold my business, but I needed an income right away. I didn't know how to do this yet. And so now that I know how to do this, this is quite profitable, but it wasn't until I learned how to make this kind of business profitable, where you're selling information products, courses, coaching, consulting, things like that, and digital products, I was able to actually focus on this full time and consult with people about their dropship stores, not just run them myself. So, you know, after that, I just started traveling and things have been crazy. We sold, we traveled all over the place. We traveled Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines. We went to Europe and took the business with us. We hired a virtual assistant to do the sales and customer service for us. And, you know, one day we were out scuba diving and made like $1,000 in profit. I mean, it was just the craziest thing. Like, we were able to live a crazy lifestyle that summer. The only thing that sucks is that Juliana is not that good at managing like crazy things. So like in business, it was very stressful. And our relationship was always stressful and a lot of fighting and a lot of like behind the scenes kind of like arguments and stuff, and just really not like as healthy a relationship as I wish it was, unfortunately. So it kind of drove me into this sort of depression. And what happened was we settled back down in Southeast Asia and the next year, and in Bangkok, because I was kind of tired of Chiang Mai, one of the bigger cities, and there's more skateboarding places in Bangkok. So we settled down there. And then I started going to coffee shops all the time to work because I couldn't work with there anymore. It's too stressful. But we built another business selling mobility scooters, because one of our suppliers with electric bikes actually sold mobility scooters. And so we started doing that. And then I kind of forgot about it because our business was really profitable. And then we ended up selling the electric bike store, just like we sold the road bike store before that. And it was because we were just kind of running into the ground again, like, all of our profits, you know, like we were just like traveling a lot and spending a lot of money. And, it just kind of sucks. Like things just sort of tanking on us, and it was really a tough situation. And I just like, it was like, I'd put myself in the same place again. It was just so weird. So I ended up putting, the listing up on Empire Flippers, and I found some interested buyers, but nobody that was willing to buy it for what I wanted it. And so I ended up taking it down, waiting until the contract was over a few months later. And then, one of the buyers ended up writing me back randomly, like, how's it going? And I was like, oh, well, actually it's going, not too good. We're looking to sell our store. Store's doing okay, but we're not doing too great. We need the cash. And he's like, okay, like I get that. Let's look at the store and make sure it's actually doing good. You're not lying to us. And they did, and everything is good, and it was good. So they're like, yeah, let's just do it. So they took it, and they've been doing great with it ever since. So I'm really happy with that. It's still around. And yeah, so we then went fully into that new store that we started at that point and grew that like crazy. We were doing like $50,000 a month, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a month, $90,000 a month. And then we got hit up by an investor just through our masterminding and stuff like that, that wanted to buy this store plus the duplicate we had made of it, and for $50,000 each. You know, well, that's the offer I ended up settling at. And we closed the sale out with them. It was crazy. $100,000 wired to our bank account that summer. I don't know. It's just like we sold three stores in 2018, and I just had all this cash all of a sudden. I was like, wow, you know. So I decided, you know what, instead of just like sitting around now, I'm gonna build this business out. So instead of working on all these new dropship stores, I decided to only build a dropship store for a case study to teach a course on how to do it. So then I built this course out that whole summer. I was just, you know, working at coffee shops, eating a lot of food and getting all this work done and going to get massages and stuff like that, because it's Thailand, they're like super cheap, and it was a lot of fun. And so you know, I worked with this guy, expat guy that I know, named Michael, and he has his blog, and you know, he was thinking about doing a course, so I was like, let's do like our courses like side by side, so we can kind of talk each other through it, like help each other through it. And he did his course, I did mine, I remember getting my first customer. I didn't even know I'd gotten a customer who bought the course. Actually, no, I take that back. My very first customer was when I was still in Chiang Mai, and he bought the course for $50. And I was like, whoa, I sold an info product for $50, trip out. And it was like a one video on niche selection, niche research on that, knowing how to do it. And he was happy with it. He was like, shit, yeah, I just learned a bunch of stuff that I didn't even know before. And then it wasn't until like 3 months later that I got my first like monthly customer, because I set my membership site up monthly. It was like $47 a month when I first started E-commerce Paradise. And I got my first customer. I didn't even know I had gotten it until a few days later. And when I was about to give up, I was like, you know, I'm just going to do this on YouTube.
And so to move from that, like just beginning, to actually like growing this course out more and selling it more was a big step for me. I had to make content constantly. So every single day I was filming tons of tutorial videos, growing my own high ticket dropshipping store, filming it for the masterclass. And over time I was also launching it with content and launching it with emails. And we did quite well. In the last year with our business E-commerce Paradise, we've done over $150,000 in revenue, and most of that's profit. It's like an 80-90% profit margin. We sold quite a few of these done-for-you service packages, which was awesome as well. And I hired a team to fulfill them for me, and those customers are doing great. So we're really happy about that. My main focus now is on automating the business and taking myself out of it as much as possible. So we're getting rid of the agency, and we're getting rid of coaching, and we're going to focus only on the course and selling the course and optimizing it and doing the course. and doing more videos and content marketing and live videos and stuff like that. Later on down the line, I might get into group coaching again when I'm ready for it. But right now, my goal is to just get into content marketing and building a business that's automated and is set up in a way that I don't have to physically be present for any specific thing. And there's no deadline either. And that's my goal in this business. So I'm really happy with that. We're going to be building out our own dropship stores. We have 3 dropship stores of our own right now. We're building on more of them, and our team is managing them for us. So it's a really exciting process. And my goal is to build those and sell those and eventually build e-commerce paradise up to a point where an investor would be interested in buying it from me as well. And so if you're listening to this and you're an investor and you're thinking about buying your own business, whether it be a dropship store or e-commerce paradise, let me know. And just email me, trevor@ecommerceparadise.com, and we can talk. But yeah, so my main goal here is to continue to grow businesses, but to live an awesome lifestyle. So I'm now staying in Indonesia because I had issues with my visa for Thailand. And I wanted to get out of there for a little while anyways. And so things are going great out here in Bali, and I'm exploring and enjoying the Indonesian culture a bit. And I plan to go back to the States this summer for a little bit, get my Indonesian visa, get my Thai visa again, and go back and forth between these two countries because they're my favorite in the world. And also do a Euro trip this summer as well. So should be fun. And I have a lot more traveling to do and a lot more business building and learning to do. I do want to build a good sustainable income. Unfortunately, my wife and I decided to separate. And it was just kind of for the better of both of us because she wasn't happy traveling all the time. She wanted to have a steady home again, and I didn't want to move back to the States. So she's somewhere that she likes to be, which is Montana. And I'm where I want to be, which is Bali and Indonesia, Southeast Asia. And I love it out here. So yeah, we're living our lives separately now, and we're still working on the business together, which is fine. So things are going good. That's kind of the story of my e-commerce journey up until the present moment. And this is middle of 2019. So I'm sure I'll be adding on to the story as time goes on, because our stories are constantly evolving as our lives evolve. And so I'm really excited about that. So with that said, that's this episode, guys, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you are interested in getting started with high-ticket dropshipping, doing what I do, definitely get my free niches list first, ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. Get into my free course, and there might be a webinar at that point as well when you're watching this. And then get into the masterclass, ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass, and build your own store, build your own business, build your own lifestyle business where you can be location independent, have freedom of time, do whatever you want to do, and also work for yourself and make your own money and have financial freedom as a result. So you can work from home, travel abroad, be location independent, and you know, provide the lifestyle for your family and for your children that you've always dreamed of. So it's definitely awesome. It takes a lot of work and a lot of learning, but it's well worth it, guys. If you want to live it, it's possible. I did it, as you can see. I'm a perfect example of what's possible. So if you guys want to do it for yourself, just know that all it takes is learning new skill sets that you weren't taught in high school or college. And that's about it. Thanks for watching, guys, and we'll see you in the next episode. Take care.